Hi, I'm Hannah Imam, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Musqueam people. This is Forgotten British Columbia, a series on the history of the province that has been erased and those that have been forgotten. Today, we will talk about the Chinese head tax. A brief content warning: the following episode contains themes of racism and xenophobia against the Chinese community that some may find distressing. If so, you can come back to 101.9 in 5 minutes. Others, we encourage you to listen. The infamous head tax essentially discriminated against Chinese people living in Canada and those wanting to come here in search of better work opportunities. Under the Chinese Immigration Act of 1885, the Canadian government charged a head tax of $50 to discourage Chinese immigration. The unjust policies had grave consequences on families, separating them for generations.
Both my grandfathers on my mother and father's side paid the head tax, and both my grandfathers were separated from their wives for a period of 2 decades and more.
That was Sid Chow Tan.
One of the legacies of all this comes out of what is called heathens without souls. We were treated, that is, the Chinese were treated the way we were treated because we weren't seen as human.
He is the co-founder of the Head Tax Families Society of Canada. Similar to his grandfathers, many Chinese men suffered from exclusion and loneliness because bringing their families to Canada was not a privilege afforded to most. In Vancouver, Chinese immigrants weren't allowed to buy property outside Chinatown, and so very quickly Chinatown became their safe haven where they practiced their culture, spoke their language, and conducted business. Chinese residents lived like second-class citizens, as they weren't allowed to vote, apply for citizenship, work professional jobs, and were essentially prohibited from exercising basic civil rights. Let's take a few steps back and look at where this began. The exclusionary policies are directly tied to the construction of the Canadian Pacific Railway, also known as CPR, a transcontinental railway which would directly connect Eastern Canada to BC. The CPR proved to be a major milestone in the development on what is colonially known as Canada. Around 17,000 Chinese laborers were brought from China to work on the railroad, proving instrumental in the construction of the CPR. They worked in harsh conditions and were paid $1 a day, less than what their white counterparts earned, which was between $1.50 to $2. It is estimated that some 1,000 Chinese workers died in the building of the railway. Regardless of their contributions, soon after the completion of the project, Canadian authorities imposed the head tax in order to discourage Chinese immigration. The head tax was raised to $100 in 1900 and to $500 in 1903, equivalent to 2 years of wages. The Chinese Canadian National Council says the federal government acquired a total of $23 million from the head tax levies, of which about $8.5 million were collected by the BC government. Records show that an estimate of 82,000 people from China bore the brunt of the regressive head tax from 1885 to 1923. Despite severe barriers, the Chinese population continued to grow in the country, and particularly in BC, in the early 1900s. In 1923, the Canadian government further curtailed restrictions and imposed the Chinese Exclusion Act, completely banning Chinese citizens from entering Canada. Yet, around 300 Chinese living in Canada volunteered to fight in World War I, and this number doubled during the Second World War. The service of the Chinese veterans during the war played a pivotal role and put pressure on the state to grant the Chinese community full rights, and at last, the Chinese Exclusion Act was revoked in 1947. In 2006, Stephen Harper's government apologized for the racist laws and made payments of $20,000 each to living head taxpayers or their surviving spouses. However, the redress was criticized because it was superficial and only redressed 800 families, leaving out thousands of families who didn't have a surviving member at that time. In the past year, many activists and journalists have drawn parallels between the rise in anti-Asian racism and aggression towards Asians during COVID-19 and the looming anti-Asian sentiment that was prevalent during the inception of Canada and the United States.
I think one of the hardest things for most Canadians to understand, because they haven't been taught this history in school books, and often people who find out about it, they read on their own, they learn about it by hearing from people who were interned, if they're Japanese Canadian, or people who went through the residential schooling experience. One of the most difficult things for most Canadians is understanding the legacies of that long history of white supremacy.
As Henry Yu, a history professor at UBC, reminds us, history lessons in schools are filled with omissions and erasures. Having said that, it is also key to continuously reject the notion that racism is a thing only in the past and doesn't exist anymore, because in reality, it is woven in the fabric of Canada that is built on colonialism, white supremacy, and stolen land. Only then do we have some prospect of disrupting false narratives and holding power to account. Today's episode was written and edited by me, Hanaima. This show is co-produced by Karan Saxena and myself, Hanaima. The music for Forgotten British Columbia is by Cron Fused. You can also listen to the show online by visiting CIDR.ca and searching Forgotten British Columbia.